Hi. My name's Maya. I'm an upper middle class white woman. I've had access to what this culture calls quality education my whole life. I have a good command of the English language. My mental and physical abilities allow me to move through the world with ease and safety. My sexuality is recognized and accepted as normal by this culture. My ancestors created a genocidal colonial relationship that's still here today. And my species sits on top of a steep pyramid of domination. I come to this movement with a tremendous amount of privilege. And I think that with that privilege comes a profound responsibility. I became an activist when I was first able to name and recognize the oppression in my own life, and it was a really mobilizing and empowering moment. To realize that those oppressive experiences were not just or legitimate, and that I deserved and was responsible for changing that reality. And now my privilege and power gives me the responsibility to transform oppressive social relationships that afford me access and safety that others don't have. And I think that if our movement or movement of movements is successful, we'll see all of those privileges dissolved. That's why for me, whatever this is that we're seeking to create, and I like to think of it as like a world of many worlds, a one no many yeses, a movement of many movements, rather than maybe like one united movement that has some name or some flag about it. I think that if what we're seeking to do is going to be really successful, we really need to embrace genuine anti-oppressive values, and that is going to take a tremendous amount of personal and collective healing. Because we've all been so thoroughly wounded by this culture that we can barely help but reproduce oppressive dynamics in our lives. And paying lip service to anti-oppression isn't enough, because we've been taught to devalue our feelings, we've been taught to devalue our experiences and not talk on those levels with each other, and so we avoid these painful, awkward, heavy, horrible conversations that we need to have, because we need to ask each other, what is it like to be you? What is it like to walk through the world with your complex set of identities and histories and experiences? To me, that's coming from a place of compassionate curiosity. We need to seek out these answers from each other in order to move forward. We need to ask each other, how can I work to make these spaces safer for you to be who you are and for us to envision an ideal future together? That's going to be really hard, and it's going to take a lot of work, and I think that it's kind of a lifelong commitment, and what Inez was saying, it's also about patience and flexibility and not being rigid. I think that a core characteristic of this culture, and when I say this culture, I'm talking about patriarchal, dominating, capitalist, hierarchical civilization, I think, not necessarily, well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I think a core characteristic of this culture is a hatred of diversity and a fear of the unnameable. And I think that we've all been sort of indoctrinated into those feelings, whether we like it or not. And so we need to purge ourselves of that hatred and of this quickness to categorize. And so constantly looking deeply and carefully and critically about how we are possibly reproducing the same power dynamics of a dominant culture in the work that we do. How do we label ourselves, and who do we seek to hear from, and what do we consider valuable? We need to ask those questions more often, I think. And reject assumptions and seek diverse voices. And this is a big one and kind of scary, I think, for a lot of activists, but also accept and, if possible, support the diversity of tactics. I think that we're not doing enough, and we're not doing enough diverse things to challenge this giant, like, multi-headed monster of a culture that we're challenging. And diversity of tactics is probably the only way we can do that. But sometimes that's scary, because sometimes those tactics might jar with our own sense of morality or our experience. So we have to look at that carefully and think about it more and embrace diversity of tactics. Because diversity is the greatest strength of this potential movement of movements. And this culture has systematically destroyed ethnic, cultural, and biodiversity for thousands of years. Diversity is the greatest threat to the status quo that we have. And I think that there are some major missing pieces from this movement. And for me, the biggest one is failure to recognize our fundamental disconnect from the natural world. I think that our biggest allies are wild nature. Soil, forests, water, and seeds are the four most powerful energy storehouses on the planet. They're literally the places where the most energy and the most power exists. And if we can figure out ways to ally with wild nature, we're golden. We're so good to go because those places, their voices are probably some of the most marginalized, but also they hold the most potential for making a beautiful world. But that's going to be really complicated. Figuring out how to ally with wild nature is like a lifetime's worth of work for us, I think, if not generations and generations. But that's a part of this healing process that we need to go into and commit to. I also think a big missing piece is children. I think that we need to talk a lot more about what the ideal future of children is, and or what their visions are, and how we can make the world safer for them. They're the people who are going to be inheriting this mess that we're making. And I became an activist when I was like 7, when Ralph Klein was elected Premier of Alberta, and my best friend's mom took me to this rally, and it was like the most amazing day of my life. And I've been mobilized ever since. And if kids can be brought up in that kind of environment, I think that they can do a lot better than we've done so far. So I think that kids are a big missing piece from this movement. And a third thing that I think we really need to look and explore is healing at a cultural level. Our stories and our celebrations and our languages and our gestures and our life ways are infused with the destructive values of colonial capitalist patriarchal domination. And a massive challenge that I'm really curious about is how do we transform at a cultural level? How do we collectively create new cultural expressions that are rooted in anti-oppressive, diverse, nature-loving, human-loving, life-loving values? We need to celebrate together and get comfortable with our sensuous, irrational, imaginative selves again. So cultural revolution and transformation are really fundamental to making sure that whatever structural solutions we create as a movement of movements stay strong, because they'll be embedded in the way that we live our everyday lives. And I know that's like a huge task, and I have no idea how to do it, but it's important to think about. Finally, I think that imagination has to play a big part in this. We need to be inspired enough to keep doing this every day, because otherwise we'll all just get swallowed in despair. And all too often we're totally reactionary and just using the word anti a lot. And I know I keep saying anti-oppression, so I'm gonna skip, but whatever. Offering people visions, imaginative, glorious visions of the future is, I think, going to be really critical in this moment, especially as more and more people lose faith in this culture every day. And I don't really have a very good thing to say at the very end.
You did a lot of good saying.
So, there. The end.